Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Darren Donovan chase continues. We are now aligned. Chase McCabe will be on the afternoon show today with the GM, Floyd Reese. So be tuning in for him at that point. We now have Darren McFarland ready to go. Darren, it took a little time, but we are reunited like peaches and Herb.
Better late than never. Yes. Hey, it's all about the finish. It's not about the start. A.K.A. Ask the Titans, right? It's not about the start. It's about the finish. And right now, you know, I would say if we were grading their test, if we were grading it, I would say they're about a B- for style and way it looks for 60 minutes, right? But they're A+ for the results. The results are the 3-0, and isn't that the name of the game? I mean, that's it's how you end. It's how you finished. I mean, Steven Gostkowski, while he cost me week one in fantasy football, and I still will never let him forget that, he has come on strong ever since as my fantasy kicker, and he's hit 9 straight, and he's had 3 game-winning field goals. It's hard to believe. Yes, week one, he still had the game-winning field goal. So it's how you finish, and it's like this show. We've got 3.5 hours to finish strong and forget, at least on my end, the first 30 minutes ever happened.
Well, we're going to finish strong, and so as I invite everybody to join our conversation here, 615-737-1025. Join us with your call or your text, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Darren, along the lines, right? It's really hard to win 3 games by 6 points, no matter what happens in the course of the game. That's hard, right?
Yep.
But tell me if you agree. I did not think that the Titans didn't deserve to win all 3. I thought they were the better team in all 3. You know, barely.
Denver.
I think they should have beaten Denver easily if Gostkowski didn't have the bad day. Now, they needed him to be absolutely perfect yesterday.
But he did have a bad day. That's why I'm saying. He did.
Right.
I agree with that, but he did.
That's part of it. But it's weird how it sort of evens out. So I think that they're not imposters at 3-0, even though I think we know that they have a lot of things that they're going to need to improve on.
Well, I think it's definitely an overreaction to say they're imposters, because there are people that will. But is Pittsburgh for real? Because they've gone through murderer's row. Is Buffalo for real? Because they've gone through murderer's row.
Bears?
Answers, Bears, because they've gone through murderer's row. Oh, no, they've all beat bad teams too.
Right.
So, you know, look, this is the stretch now what we're about to find out, right? The next 2 games in particular. Mm-hmm. Let's just start there. Pittsburgh and Buffalo.
Now that will be the theme of the week.
Yeah.
Right? The theme of the week is we're going to find out what the real Titans look like after 2 more weeks.
Yeah. So, you know, if people want to believe that, okay, that's fine. I would also tell you this clever little stat. You know, we had fun, unfortunately, at the expense of Chris Domino and the Falcons, because he's in the Atlanta market doing radio there for a long, long time and does a great job. But, you know, the stat he brought to the table, what was it, like 444-0? You know, yeah. A team leading by that has never, ever lost, or has not the quarterback not throwing an interception, whatever the crazy stat was.
Not turning the ball over.
39 points, scoring 39 points, not having a turnover. Like, no one has ever lost in the NFL, ever. And that's, you know, under those circumstances, and the Falcons did. Well, how about this? No team ever in the NFL has had a running back go for at least 175 yards rushing and a wide receiver go for at least 175 yards receiving and lose the game until yesterday. So there is something to be said about that. Oh, by the way, that had never been done in NFL history, and it happened. So don't you get marks for that? Think about that. That record, a team doing that with a running back and a receiver, has never lost until yesterday. That's pretty big ups for the Titans to pull that off.
Yeah, because they overcame it for sure. And people are going to focus on the defense for that reason, right? Because 2 weeks in a row now, the numbers for the other team are pretty good if you've got those guys on your fantasy roster, right? If you had Dalvin Cook or Jefferson, you're thinking, hey, man, I love it. But
Dalvin Cook had both of them had career days.
Yeah,
career days.
I think I was saying it throughout the week. I felt like it was going to have to be the offense picking up the defense. That you had a desperate Vikings team that had to win, but they had big issues on defense, which plagued them all day. But offensively, I think you knew that there was something better than they showed. Dalvin Cook is way too good. Kirk Cousins, while not a world beater, was way better than his stats over the course of his career. And then, of course, Jefferson was the key for them coming up with a big day. That's what hadn't happened the first 2 weeks. All of a sudden, boom, rookie wide receiver, a talent. Then you match that up with the Titans' issues in the secondary, which definitely showed up yesterday. And so I think Mike Vrabel, the first thing they got to do is figure out how to not give up the big plays. They're giving up way too many big plays.
Right, but also the Titans, I think it's been interesting to watch them right out of the gates come up with a big play back-to-back weeks, right? Huge plays out of the gates. They're doing the same thing to the opponent. Now, the opponent has been gashing them the whole game. I think it's been interesting to see how Arthur Smith in the offense has been coming up with a big play right out of the gates. Typically what they've been doing is what? Everybody is loading up the box expecting Derrick Henry early on. And what have the Titans done? They've thrown the ball downfield. Yeah, they loosen them up with long passes, and it's worked right out of the gates. Let's go to Adam up in Portland, who's calling in on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, what's up?
I'm neither way, man. Like, I don't know why people's getting so upset about it. I've heard a lot of complaining about this team, but being a 21-year Titans fan, man, if we win football games, they're going to look like that, more than likely. Like, we don't ever just, you know, whip somebody by 40 points. We smacked the Browns really hard last year and turned around and lost by one to Indy. We couldn't score 17 points against Indy. Like, I'll take 3-0, dude. And I was saying last week, I just want to notice Jadeveon Clowney on the field. Well, I noticed him. So this week I want to notice him getting sacked and not blindside blocked. So I'm hoping for something good from him. He owes me 7 points and $12 million, and I fully anticipate to get paid at some point during this season. But I'll take 3-0, man. And I anticipate Pittsburgh being a hard game. But like you said, man, the Vikings gave us, you know, their Hail Marys, man. That's all they could do. I mean, they threw their whole season, everything they had at us, and it was going to be a shot. So I think Pittsburgh's going to be a much tighter and harder-fought game between two good teams.
Well, I'm not sure they can get any tighter games unless it's a tie like the Bengals and the Eagles.
They can't get any tighter. There's no way.
Which was a pathetic ending, by the way.
We'll get to that one. We will get to that one.
That was an absolute
What a crazy comedy of errors. Yeah,
I mean, good God. Yeah, we'll get into that in a bit. But I'm not sure they can play tighter. By the way, Adam is the one that was predicting 41-3 every week, right?
Right.
He might want to change that prediction with this team. You know, it's not about style points. It's not a beauty contest. And they don't have to be. Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Ravens typically are the ones getting the stuff, right? They're going to win the beauty pageants. They're going to look pretty in their wins. In the end, in this league, it's all about the W's and however you get it. But with that being said, and the 3-0 start, which is fantastic. First time again, they've had a 3-0 start since 2008. I guess we'll just keep referencing 2008 as long as they keep winning this season. But there are huge concerns on defense, Willie. I mean, we have to talk about it because they're dead last in the league, and they're getting gashed in the running game. They can't get off the field. Their secondary is becoming a huge. By the way, did Jonathan Joseph look old, or was that just me?
But he was. That's to me. That's a guy just playing out of the role that they brought him in. They wanted him to be more of the complimentary guy, and he's having to play like the main role. You know what I mean? He's not the lead
Jackson
singer
back
of the band, right?
Yeah.
He's not your number two corner. He's your number four, number five. He's the crafty veteran. I thought he did, under the circumstances, he did okay. You know, he got an interception. They were just asking a lot of him. They did what I think they wanted to do, and that was not let Thielen beat them, right? Thielen only was targeted five times, had three catches. You know, he had the one touchdown, but other than that, they did a good job on Thielen. It was just that they don't have enough guys to cover everybody right now. They got, I mean, who are their corners?
Right, but that is a problem moving forward.
It's a huge problem.
Pittsburgh and Buffalo are going to throw
no question, a lot
on them.
Especially if Adoree Jackson isn't ready to come back. He's eligible to, but it's been very quiet along that front, right? I remember, I think Teron was saying he hasn't even seen him. Like, I don't know if he's on the verge of coming back, and neither is A.J. Brown. Yep. So I think this is what it's going to be for a while. They're just going to have to figure something out. But I think every team is dealing with something like that, right? Especially with all the injuries that are going on league-wide.
Yep. Let's stay up north of town. Let's go to Mike in Gallatin, who's calling in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike, what's up? Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys, sorry. My phone's been acting kind of funny. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, excellent. So my quick question is, the pass rush for the last drive looked incredible. Where's it been the rest of the time? And I'll just listen.
I thought that was maybe the most asked question on Twitter in the minutes following the game. Like, where's that been the whole game?
Yeah.
Well, they were aided by a bad snap, right? That was a critical break to help them sort of tee off. But I think that's a fair question. I think they still, like, did you notice Vic Beasley out there? I did have to ask at one point, what number is Vic Beasley? Did you notice him? I didn't see him.
No.
I know he was there.
He was active. He was active. He did touch the playing surface. How effective was he?
So that's sure. We obviously know that is a work in progress, but it has to get better.
Did anybody really think he was going to set the world on fire, though? I mean, really?
No, not yesterday, for sure. It's got to be a process. You know, they need Roberson eventually. You know, Simmons was impressive, right? I think we know that they've got something there, especially late in the game. It was an unfortunate. The rule is so sensitive on that. I wish they would look at and have a little common sense, a little discretion on that penalty. But, man, he played a great game. Clowney, you tell me what you think, Darren. You notice him. He's everywhere. He's lining up different places. He's standing up. He's lining up over center. He's over on the side. He's active. It's just he's almost running around too much and taking himself out of plays half the time, it seems like.
Yeah. Sometimes it does feel a little bit like wasted energy, a little bit. But he is visible. You can't say he's not visible. But they're going to need a little bit more out of him. But, I mean, I think it's, yet again, we're talking about, it's hopefully, and maybe they feel this way, we'll find out what Mike Vrabel says in less than 2 hours when we play his press conference. But, you know, that he's coming along and getting better every week. And we'll see what they say about that. But here's a little stat for you. I'm gonna try to see if I can stump you. And it's not my stat. It's ESPN Stats and Info, okay? This is a cool little stat. I should save it for This Is What I Know, but we've got lots of This Is What I Know. I've got a lot, okay? So I can use this now. I don't have to save it for an hour from now. The Titans are 3-0, Willie, this season. But they're 0-3 against the spread. You know, we talk about the spreads a lot. We've got it in Pick 6, Silly Underdogs, Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports. They're 0-3 this season against the spread. I know, because I keep picking them in Pick 6, and it keeps burning me. All three wins, as we just discussed, have come on game-winning field goals. Per ESPN Stats and Info, the Titans are the first team since 1979 and only the third team in the Super Bowl era to start 3-0 on the season and be 0-3 against the spread. Can you name the other two teams? One was in 1969, the other was in 1979.
Well, 79, 69 I would have absolutely no idea. But 79, what comes to mind for me was that was the year the Buccaneers suddenly got good. So I'm going to say Tampa Bay.
Okay, so you say Tampa, and my guess would have been, if, you know, I know the answer, but my guess would have been the Steelers. 79, right? That was pretty good.
I would think they would be favored. It's not about covering the spread. Okay, but my educated guess would be the Buccaneers had never been good. They were the doormat, And then all of a sudden, they had a great year and made it to the NFC.
But they would have been covering the spread, so that's working against you, actually. They probably would have been a team that would have been an underdog, and they would have been covering the spread. I'm thinking of a powerhouse team, and I would say the Steelers. Right. We both would have been wrong.
So you're saying I couldn't be more wrong, is what you're saying. I'm so far from being right, because they were probably underdogs and went 3-0.
They weren't getting the credit that they deserved, and they were actually covering everything.
So put my theory in the category of dead wrong.
I would have thought Steelers would have been a good guess. That is wrong. So how about another good team from the late 70s, 79 team that would fit this category?
79 that won, or it didn't cover but went 3-0. 79, who else? Cowboys?
Dallas Cowboys, right. When in doubt, if it's not the Steelers, then go with the Cowboys. The Cowboys were the team in 79, and how about 69?
So the Cowboys were the team in 79.
Yeah, 79 was Cowboys. 69 was, this is going way back.
I'll just take a wild guess and say the Colts.
Yeah, I would have. That's a really good guess. It's the Raiders.
The Raiders, okay.
So how about that? So 69, 79, and now only three teams have ever started off 3-0, but 0-3 against the spread.
Now, the question is, what does that really mean? I don't know.
And coming on in all their games, game-winning field goals. Pretty cool. So what does that mean? It's nothing. It's just a fun little fact.
Well, here's another. I'd like to know this one, and I don't know the answer. Somebody's probably – ESPN Stats and Info, I think, would love to chew this up. But how many times has a kicker on back-to-back drives? Like, who has ever – it's one thing to hit the 50-something-yard field goal to win a game, but it was consecutive drives – 50-plus yards to win, right? They're down by 5, right? And he hits 53 and then 55, whatever it was. That can't have happened too many times.
Yep.
True?
True. No doubt.
So that was – and both of the drives were a little bit head-scratching, right? You were – the Titans – give them all the credit in the world, because when they get down 24-12 – the offense was like, I'm coming right back. We're not checking out here. And they went right down and got back in the game. And then the last two drives, they showed a lot of poise, just like they've been doing. And then they got to around the 30-something yard line and had some plays that went 3-and-out and made it really tough on Gostkowski, and he bailed them out. But you're like, wait a minute, what happened? They were moving so easily, and then suddenly, boom, they come to a screeching halt. But those are two outstanding kicks, and they were no doubters, right? Every single one of them, as soon as he booted, it was like, that's good.
He raised his hands.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, high five, high five. This coming from Brian in Portland on our text line, which is also driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Love being 3-0, not trying to complain too much, but we need a Dory back. If we can get better coverage, then the quarterback won't be releasing the ball so soon. Means more sacks or potential turnovers from our defensive line. Obviously, no one is going to disagree with that, Brian. But as I've brought up many times in the last couple of weeks, yes, they need him back. But this is what you, the Titans fans, you and the Titans, Titans fans and the Titans, if I could spit it out, everybody has to keep in mind that this is what it's going to be all year. Like, you're never going to have your full squad. Like, the minute Odori comes back, unfortunately, somebody else is going to go down. This is what everybody's going to deal with. And by the way, this is going to be for everybody. It's not just here with the Titans. So, yeah, we can all sit there and say there's certain players they need to – you think A.J. Brown? I know we're focusing on the defense, so it's probably more important. But A.J. Brown is just as important on the other side. But the offense has been really good. But, I mean – that's A.J. Brown's going to come back, and unfortunately somebody's probably going to go down on the offense. That's just what it's going to be all year. Do they need Adoree Jackson back? No doubt. I'm just telling you, though, the minute Adoree Jackson comes back, somebody else is going to go down that you think they desperately need. That's just the way it's going to be this season, and everybody's going to have to adapt to that. Everybody's going to have to work around it. You'll never hear Mike Vrabel and any of these pressers make excuses for that, because what is he going to say? I'm just here to talk about the guys that we're working with on the field that are going to be playing for us. He's not even going to talk about the injured guys, right? That's not how it works in this league. He's never going to be going, yeah, we need this guy back and this guy back. He's always like, yeah, I'm here trying to coach the guys that are available to us. And that's the mentality you have to have, especially in the NFL every year, but especially in 2020.
I could not agree more. Because I think sometimes we do get into that mindset of, oh, once they get so-and-so back, everything will be fine. But you're going to plug one hole one place and then others are going to spring a leak. But I think that's really the essence of the NFL, right? Who can, first of all, if you get too many leaks, nobody can overcome it, right? The 49ers were fortunate to play the Giants yesterday, and they did a great job. They got the job done. They won easy without all those guys. That's a great testament. Jeez. It's a great testament to them. It's also an indictment of the Giants. But this is the NFL, right? Is you got to have guys like Jonathan Joseph playing out of position, asked to do way more than you were hoping for, but you get by. You somehow get by, and you find a way to win. So, yeah, I'm with you on – and here's the other thing. Like, we're going to play Mike Vrabel at 12:30. He usually doesn't say anything about injuries. I wonder if we'll get any clue on Brown or Adoree Jackson or Taylor Lewan. How bad is he, right? But there's another one. The guy that came in for him, he struggled early. He's trying to block Ngakoue, right?
Yeah.
He was getting blown up, but they fixed that, right? By the end of the game, you weren't thinking, oh, man, I wish they had Lewan, right? You started to not notice that guy as much.
So well, you have to make adjustments.
That's what you have to do. Yeah, yeah, that's what you have to do in the NFL.
You think Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are elite? How about this? They have combined this season thus far through three games for 23 touchdown passes and one pick. That's what Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson have done this season. Hence why their teams are both undefeated. 23 touchdowns wow. and one interception between the two of those two guys. I'll keep saying it. Russell Wilson doesn't get enough credit in this league. We tend to always start with Mahomes and, you know, Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. And I know Drew Brees has kind of been beat up a little bit last couple of weeks, but typically, we always start with a bunch of other guys and then we get to Russell Wilson. Nobody ever starts with Russell Wilson, and he may be the best quarterback in the league.
Tony Dungy said it last night on the NBC broadcast. He goes, I don't think I've seen a quarterback playing at that level since I had Peyton Manning in his prime. So that's a pretty good compliment. And there's a lot of different ways you can say it, but I think he's now getting his due, right? I think people now know. It took a while, but he's been in the spotlight now. He's at the Sunday night game. He had the featured game yesterday, and he's lit it up both times. If you don't know that Russell Wilson is Hall of Fame by now, and then you're not watching any football at all.
Yeah. True.
It's pretty amazing.
Let's see. This is from Ben. This is on our text line. We have one yes. We have one yes, but a total gap of 6 points in all three victories. The combined record of those teams we beat are 1-8. We are probably going to get in the playoffs mathematically just by being 3-0 and finishing 9-7, but we aren't good enough as is to contend. Got to get healthier and grow better to get a ring.
So he's sort of falling in line with the consensus, I would say, is what everybody's like. It's 3-0, but I'm not buying my Super Bowl tickets or whatever. What about this? Joe Rexroad asked a great question in The Athletic on his article, and I know they discussed it this morning on our morning show. The Texans at 0-3 have played three undefeated teams, right? And as our texter just pointed out, the three teams that the Titans have beat have a combined one win. The Steelers, right? Same thing. They're 3-0. They haven't beaten anybody good yet. What would the Titans' record be had they played the three teams that the Texans played and vice versa? It's a fair question, right? This is you don't apologize for the schedule, but the schedule plays a part in how the season unfolds.
The Steelers have beaten the Giants. We know they're a big pile of crap. The Broncos, they're not much better. And the Texans, they have a combined one win as well. with the three teams they've beaten.
Right. So that'll be the question for both of the teams. But the Texans are 0-3, and they've played three 3-0 teams.
So they've both played the Broncos. Who do you think's better?
Well, they played the Broncos without Drew Locke. I don't know what the drop off is to Driscoll, but that's not who they planned to be the quarterback against the Steelers, right?
Who's better, the Giants or the Vikings, in your opinion?
Oh, I think the Vikings are way better.
Exactly. Texans or Jags?
I think the Texans are better.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. So it's a little bit, you know, they've both played the Broncos. The Vikings are way better than the Giants, even though they're both 0-3, and you probably give the edge to the Texans over the Jags. So there you go. I mean, the Steelers are 3-0, but they got issues too. Their people can say the same thing about them. Guess what? Their defense is really, really good. But their offense at times, it's like, okay. I mean, I would take the Titans. Would you take the Titans' offense or the Steelers' offense? We're going to talk about this all week.
Oh. Well, I think I would take the Titans' offense.
I would, too.
I think everybody would take the Steelers' defense at this point.
Yeah.
But this is the great mental test of mental toughness in the league, right? We just talked about overcoming your weaknesses, overcoming injuries. The good teams figure it out with depth and savvy, knowing how to use guys as best they can and just duct tape it if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the other thing, though. If you're the Texans, you're sitting there going, are we that bad? We're 0-3, but are we really that bad? And if you're the Titans, you're 3-0, and the Steelers 3-0, you're like, we're 3-0, but are we really that good? The good teams know that you're only as good as your last game, and if you're not continuing to try to get better, then if you rest on your laurels for a moment, you're going to get buried.
Well, don't you think the Vikings feel? I mean, the Vikings should feel just the same as the Texans. Titans are undefeated, Packers are undefeated, and the Colts are 2-1. That's who they've lost to.
Right. It's a great point. Gostkowski has got the right mindset, right? He had a great quote after all that he's been through in three games. What a roller coaster ride. The guy's not on a team. He gets signed, and then three games that you couldn't make up a script for, right? Not only are you going back into the league, but here are the three games you're going to have. You're going to have to make a winning kick. You're going to have a roller coaster ride. But he goes, if you're in this league long enough kicking, you're going to have great things and you're going to have bad things. The key is to just stay with your routine for every kick. If everybody could do that in life, like baseball is all about that too. Other sports like that, hockey, it's the mental toughness, right? And not ever getting too high or too low. But that's the mentality of this league. So it's such a trap sometimes. That's why we love watching the flow of a football season, because there's always a team that jumps out of the gates and then flops. And then a lot of times there are teams that get a slow start and then come back like gangbusters.
Yep. Let's go to Lacey, who's on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lacey, what's up?
Hey, man. Good morning, fella.
Good morning.
I just want Titan Nation to take a chill and rejoice in this 3-0 start. We haven't had a 3-0 start in, I don't know how long.
2008.
Yes. So let's be happy. Are there deficiencies? Yes. But we take it game by game, brick by brick, and build a championship run. My measuring stick is going to be against the Colts. If we can beat the Colts on Thursday night and then beat them again in division, we are now sitting pretty. Even more so than now. So just everybody just chill. Let the coaches coach. Let the defense has to gel together and bring it up a notch. And we're going to see what we saw in the postseason. We're a dangerous team. We now see that we can pass the ball. We just got to get the line together, the defense together, and we're going to make this run. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. So much more upbeat about the 3-0 start, and you should be. Look, this 3-0 is 3-0. Yeah, we're going to talk about the good, the bad, but 3-0 is 3-0. You can't take that away, and that's the start everybody's looking for. By the way, how many times over the years, Willie, have we been sitting here talking about these type of games that the Titans have played thus far, in the last decade especially, that of all those games resulted in what? A loss, right? Mm-hmm. They couldn't find a way to win those games, and what those Monday shows were like. Well, today, those same type of games that in the past they couldn't find a way to win, they're winning. So don't you want that? Over all those Monday reactions of, oh, here the Titans go again, right? Here they go again. Another game had no bit. Should have won that game. And I can't believe, you know, they got this problem and this problem. It's just all problems. Well, today it's, okay, yeah, we're talking about some of the things that look like they're a problem. But you also come back to, yeah, but they're winning. They're finding a way to win. I mean, by the way, the Vikings are a pretty good team. And that is a good win. You got their blow. It's what we talked about all week. Were they going to get the Vikings' best? The answer was yes, they got it. And they still found a way to win. And early on, or at least halfway through, did anybody feel that it was going to result in a win? Be honest. Halfway through that game, did you think the Titans were going to win the game?
Well, it was 24-12.
24-12. Did you think they were going to win? I was like, I don't think it's going to happen today.
I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, most people were going, I'm not sure it's going to happen today. Well,
right,
guess what?
Here's one more thing on the horizon to look at. I know we're all looking at the next two games. You have Steelers-Bills. But right now, of course, it could all change. But we love to analyze the schedule before the season. Do we think the schedule for the Titans has gotten easier or harder now that we've learned about some teams? Look at this. Steelers and Bills, still on the schedule, 3-0 teams. You've still got the Bears, who are 3-0. You got the Ravens, that we've always known about. You got the Packers later in the season. So a lot of these 3-0 teams are on the docket for the Titans. Like, you look at their schedule and you're like, whatever you thought of the schedule, it looks like it's a pretty tough schedule right now, at least after 3 weeks.
We'll come back. We'll start the second hour. We'll talk with TD Teron Davenport in the On Deck Circle. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.